What is up, Cyclone Nation? Hell of a weekend, and we are going to recap it, analyze it, and, of course, look ahead. All that good stuff for you coming up tonight here on the Williams and Bloom. Sunday night, you're probably listening on Monday morning podcast. Before I bring Bloom in and before we get to tonight's content, I want to thank our presenting sponsor, MechDyne and the MechDyne Corporation, enabling discovery. MechDyne.com is where you can go. And you can go and look at their careers page. The economy's tough for some people right now. They are teammates at MechDyne, not employees. You should go and check it out. They have great benefits. You can view the open job section at MechDyne.com. It's a great American company that is headquartered right in the heart of central Iowa in Marshalltown. A couple of Iowa State graduates built this company now into a worldwide institution in AV technology. They do all sorts of stuff. All sorts of stuff. I learn more about MechDyne every day that I am partnered with them. IT services, software services, engineered displayed structures, all sorts of good stuff. MechDyne.com. I also want to thank our friends from Franklin Barbershop. If you guys have seen me today, yikes. Daddy needs a haircut. And so here's what I'm going to do this week. I'm just going to dial up on the old computer, franklinbarbershop.com. It brings me to a thing called GenBook, where I can book my appointment just right there. It's so easy. You'll book the appointment. It'll go straight to your calendar. Five stars. They've got 118 reviews. This is legit, dudes. Let me tell you, 2701 Beaver Avenue in Des Moines. This is where Bloom and I both go. I believe Jared Stansbury is also getting trimmed up, getting all of his barber needs at the Franklin Barbershop. Great supporters of the Cyclone Fanatic podcast. Coming up here later on in the podcast, I'm going to tell you guys about two great local companies who are giving Cyclone fans coupons. Basically, you're getting promo codes for some chocolate from Van Veen down in Perry, and also a really cool company that I think is really going to be a big deal. I'm a really big fan of what a young guy is trying to do. It's called Farm Story Meats, and we'll tell you about that. And I want to encourage all of our listeners to the Cyclone Fanatic Williams and Bloom Sunday Night Podcast to shop with our small businesses that we are going to promote here during the holiday season. And I'm going to give you your Christmas dinner from farmstorymeats.com and all of the business and family gifts you need to give from our friends down at Van Veen Chocolates in Pella. And I'm going to tell you about them later on in the broadcast. But without any further ado, let's bring on Brent Bloom and knock out tonight's podcast after a huge, huge weekend for the Cyclones.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
What's up?
Degenerate into something fool. We just got tired of doing what you told us to do. That's a brace, boy. Yeah. That's a brace, little man. Break it down.
Clones are going to the title game. Clones are going to the title game. Clones are going to the title game.
Think you can tell me what to do?
What's going on?
I think we need to play that permanently as the opening.
I would agree. Just being honest with the people, we are in separate locales. I'm down in the pride of the Heartland, Page County. I'm in Clarinda tonight, and Bloom's up in beautiful Bondurant. But this Zoom thing that we got going on is just off the charts.
Who would have thought we'd be able to do this? You from Clarinda and me in Bondurant here.
But it's incredible.
Non-COVID related. Just want to make that clear.
Yeah, no, it's not COVID related at all. In fact, feeling quite fine. I have family stuff that I have to take care of tonight, and I am doing that. But we couldn't not have the podcast.
Oh, buddy. What a weekend.
What a weekend. Just real quick. This is just coming across the wire right now. We do have some breaking news here. Bloom, we have just found exclusive audio from our man Skip, Greg Brobinek, on the Texas Longhorn directly following that game.
Of course, if you're not down with that, we got two words for you!
Man, I was joining him mentally from the press box.
Just giving the crotch chop up there.
Yeah, to the Texas radio crew. Man, that was fun. I tell you what. I've had a lot of highlights in my life.
Was that one of them?
That was one of them. It was.
It had to be.
I was
happy for you guys that you were all there together, which made it really cool.
It was just in the way that whole game worked. It was perfect. It was just perfect. The whole thing. I mean, obviously it would have been maybe a little less stressful if Iowa State could have just cruised and, you know, just dominated the whole time. But to get down like that again and to fight back and then to have it come down to a missed field goal for somebody else, just so perfect. Just, I mean, it was incredible. And I honestly, you know, Ben Bruns got choked up in the post game and it was emotional too. That's what surprised me.
You didn't at least shed a tear. I was, for sure.
Okay. And it just, you know, I thought you made a great point. I think it was in your reaction podcast of it wasn't just emotional, you know, because of what we've been through or what a fan has gone through. That's part of it, but it's those players, all those players that have just toiled away for so, so long, wondering if Iowa State could ever get to this place. Yeah. And, you know, I thought at some point, you know, I didn't think we'd ever be here. I really didn't. I mean, 5 years ago, if you're making a couple bowl games a year, that's a success at Iowa State. And to get to this point, it's just amazing. And it's still kind of surreal. We had to keep checking the score on the way home. It's like, wait a second, this happened, right? Like we're good. We're good here. And man, and you know, one more game to go, but it's just surreal stuff, man.
And You kind of lived a dream weekend, man. I know you aren't going to want to talk about it, but you got to do – you were up there in the network for that, and then you got to do play-by-play for a – can I call it a network TV broadcast? I mean
it's ESPN Plus.
But it's still like that – I know you well enough to know that you grew up wanting to be that. And
yeah, no, that was
– you kind of lived like – two dreams in a weekend. So congrats to you, man.
No,
I'm really happy
for
you.
No, and really, it was just an awesome weekend. I can't really put a whole lot of words to it. I mean, so I got a little emotional after the game, and then it really hit me. And kudos to, I think it was Matthias over at Wide Rat Natty Light that did the
oh, my God, you start crying during that, too.
I did. Oh, I didn't expect it, but I was totally. Like, man, it just hit. It hit.
Absolutely.
It hit me.
Yeah, it. That thing got me, man. About 2 minutes into that, I'm like, oh, man, who's cutting onions?
You're right.
What's going on?
What a deal. I mean, what was it like for you? I mean, obviously.
My weekend, it was really odd, but actually I couldn't have asked for anything better. You know, my life's been really – everybody's life's been different in 2020. Mine has been very different. So my wife was working, and Jacqueline Cordova – who works for us at Cyclone Fanatic, came over to help corral my daughters during the game. So I was pulling like triple duty on this stuff going on. And so I had Jacqueline with me in my basement, and then I had gotten Elise down. I strategically, great dad move here, timed the nap out for the second half.
Pros move.
Yeah. And Jacqueline, it was me and Jacqueline together, which was really special because she is really a special person to me. And yeah, honestly, it wasn't anything fancy. I was sitting in my basement. I had a weird calm at halftime. I mean, I was I was frustrated by the, which was great that Latrell Bankston made that huge sack at the end. I was very frustrated by the lining up illegally. And I just like, I wrote about, did you read my column?
Yeah.
You can say no, you've had a very busy weekend.
No, but like, I read it when I got home. Awesome.
Well, my thing is like, I kind of said leading up to that game, like Iowa State doesn't have to be perfect to win anymore because they can make up for it in other ways. But at halftime, I'm like, well, damn it. We just gave them 6 points, you know? And like you we don't have to be perfect, but you can't hand them 3 points.
True.
And I was frustrated, but like Brett and I had a really, I thought, level-headed conversation. And like, we both just felt really confident, I think, going into the second half that like, that it was that close. And I don't know, like I just felt like if Iowa State was going to lose on Friday, it was going to lose because Texas was better than them. This wasn't going to be a, oh, we pissed it down our leg, we got screwed by the ref, that it was going to be a, at the end of the game, you take your hat off and you say they outplayed us. And I don't know, it was a weird feeling of, that was kind of, that was pretty cool. I don't know if I've ever really fully experienced that as an Iowa State football fan, where I truly believed it, you know? Yeah,
different mentality.
Yeah. So that was cool, you know, but at the end of the game, Cammy was sitting on my lap. I calmed down at that point cause I needed to, I was really going crazy there for a while. And no, it was fun. Jacqueline and I had a big hug. Cammy and I had a big hug, and I FaceTimed my parents right when it happened, like a lot of people did, and headed on over to the station to do Cyclone Reaction. But then it's weird, like I immediately started wanting more, because then it was like, by the end of Reaction, Jack and I are like, okay, we're analyzing West Virginia, which I think is healthy, you know?
Yes.
Not to just settle. Like, this is a great step, but like, this team is so much better, I think, than just getting there.
Well, and I think that's the great thing is like, yeah, you want to maybe Iowa State's biggest win in school history, but yet there's a bigger one out there now.
No doubt. Well, you said it best. You said it best last week when I asked you, is this the biggest game? You said it really well. What did you say? Well, if we win, and right.
And then there's another one.
Yeah. Now there's another one and potentially another one after that. Even like, I mean, in real quick, this basically locks Iowa State into the Alamo Bowl, right?
At the very least.
Yes.
Yes. That's a good point. I mean, the bowl games haven't been talked about, so let's go there real quick. Usually the Big 12 has an affiliation with the Sugar Bowl to play, the champion of the Big 12 plays the champion of the SEC in the Sugar Bowl. However, this year, the Sugar Bowl is a Final Four playoff. This year. And so there isn't one bowl game, one of the other big six, is that what they call them now? Get them confused. Married to the Big 12. So the most likely would be the Big 12 champion will go to the Cotton Bowl. Mm-hmm. Should Oklahoma or Iowa State not make the playoff. And then that second place team is pretty much locked into that next tiered game, which is the Alamo Bowl.
Which would be an Oregon USC type opponent.
Correct.
I would guess. However,
one other thing, it's pretty much been decided, and I don't know if it's publicized or not, but it's not going to be a traditional bowl week.
No, correct.
The teams are going to treat it like a road game. So they'll go probably the day before, maybe 2 days before to give them a little extra day, but it's not going to be one of those ordeals where they're there for 5 days leading up to the game. And, you know, the Cotton Bowl, the Alamo Bowl, both will have some fans because Texas has been pretty, you know, more lenient than most states for having fans, but it's not going to be any more than, you know, probably 15,000. So it's a weird bowl game, but the bowl game exists because it is going to be on television. And here's the other thing we were talking on the way home. It is entirely possible Iowa State plays 2 games in 11 days in Jerry's World in Arlington. Because that Big 12 championship game is late.
It's moved back,
on the 19th. And then I think that Cotton Bowl is the 30th.
So the whole, like, bowl practice thing is not nearly it.
It's a game
week.
You're just
going through it anyways. Yeah.
And the quickness, the turnaround you have to have from Big 12 championship game to bowl game, it's not a whole lot. It's gonna be strange. It's almost gonna be like, oh, here's another game all of a sudden. So that part will be unique as well. But to your point, it's probably going to be, if Iowa State wins the Big 12 championship, I would guess it's the Cotton Bowl. And if they don't, it'll be the Alamo Bowl.
Real quick, you brought up Arlington taking a land jet down.
Yes, you're going.
Yeah, I'm going.
And, you know, our buddy Sean got you hooked up.
Yeah, Stansberry and I are taking a land jet down. We're going to go.
Buddy boy.
I think I actually am going to go down Thursday night and do radio from Dallas on Friday, I think is kind of the plan.
The crazy thing is there's a men's basketball game on Friday in West Virginia as well.
Oh, so, wow. How's
all
that going?
All sorts of moving
Cyclone
parts.
Cyclone 1 going to be flying around?
I don't know. I have no idea. I think the plan is, so basketball season screwed up, as everybody knows, at least on the broadcast side. There aren't going to be many visiting radio teams at the other.
So maybe we could do the call from Dallas.
So I think that's TCU? The plan is John and Eric are going to call the Iowa State West Virginia game from the TCU radio studio.
Man.
How about that?
I got my first one of those coming up on Wednesday. I'm doing the women in TCU from the iHeart studio.
Wild times, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. Anyways, we are partnering with our friends from LandJet. You know Sean really well. Great dude. And so this is awesome. Because of the thing that we did with them with Oklahoma State game, they already have like five of these things sold to go down to Dallas for the Big 12 that? Championship game. So I told Sean, I go, I want to sell this out for you. Guys, I'm not kidding. Go to land. We're not getting paid for this. Okay. It's just a friend of ours.
Just a buddy.
Yeah. Yep. Landjet.com. It's basically like an RV/limousine.
You can drink in the Landjet.
Yeah. And you got like TVs and like, it's crazy. Like the badassery here. And it's way cheaper than if you want to like get like six plane tickets or four plane tickets. You got a professional driver. You just get the hotel, go to landjet.com and check it out. Like they have 12 fleets and we think that they might sell them out
big time
with Iowa State fans, which is really cool. I knew that the women had a game the night before the Big 12 championship game. I didn't even know that the men played.
Yeah, they play at West Virginia on that Friday night.
Let's do some real quick. We're going to get back to football. We're going to do a lot of notes on football. But
we haven't even mentioned our buddy Tom yet.
Tom. Oh, yeah, we got to get to that. I don't know if he's going to make it through the week, but legit.
Have the Siberia t-shirts been printed yet? Or those...
Actually, so that conversation happened after the game, and I said to our team, I go, let's wait until we win a championship.
Perfect.
Like, I don't want to be the
celebrate.
Yeah, the chihuahua, the little dude that's biting all the time.
I like that.
Yeah. We did put the horns down hoodies and t-shirts on special for Saturday night only, which I found was appropriate.
I think that's very, I like that move. That's a good strategic move. We're growing up here.
I thought that I just got done. It's about 9:30, Sunday night. And I just got done watching the game today. It was a nice call, by the way. But God, that first half, what were you thinking when Iowa State was down like 12-0 or whatever the hell it was?
So I'd watched both the previous Pine Bluff games in preparation. I was like,
they were losing 25-0 to Wisconsin and still covered.
And 41-9 to Marquette. there's no way. This is not possible. This is a half. And it played out as expected. You know, did you have a little hint of like Florida A&M? Like, can this really happen? Yeah, there's a little bit of doubt in there, but you know, it was clear. Iowa State, at least to my eyes, has an upgrade on the wings this year. Okay. I mean, you lose Tyrese.
Boy, what'd you think of the Stone?
Yeah. And then Dubar he's got a little old school Kenny Pratt to his game. Not a great athlete, but man, he's physical and he can play a little bit. He can play small forward, big guard type. He was fun to watch. But I think between the freshman and then Coleman Lands, Harris, and Johnson, who struggled today, but you can see the potential there. And then when they get Trey Jackson back, this team's going to be a much better three-point shooting team, Chris. and they're going to run into some wins. I mean, I was encouraged.
It was
a bad first half, but I actually was encouraged from what I saw.
I came away, I wouldn't say happy with the game, but I'm with you. Like, you can just see, I'm on record. I think this is going to be a tough year. I think this is a team that needed a non-conference, that needed secret scrimmages, that needed to play with an official before the season.
Agreed.
This team of all of Prome teams probably needed that the most, because this team had a higher ceiling than last year's team. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. And they've been hurt. I mean, they haven't practiced a whole lot of 5-on-5 even, because they've had guys dinged up.
So I don't know, like, what kind of a ceiling to put on this year, but I actually walked away really impressed with the talent level. Now, roles and chemistry is going to be another thing, but there's no doubt in my mind that 1 to 10, they're much more talented than they were a year ago.
100%.
And that's with losing a lottery pick.
Yes.
All of those freshmen are going to be good players. They've just got to keep grinding, which is hard these days because it's so easy to transfer and all those things. But, like, I mean, and Johnson finally at the end of the game showed us a little bit of a flash. I think I like Tyler Harris probably more than anybody in the media. Like, everybody always shits on him because he's 5'9", but
I feel that, man.
I love him. Like, he can shoot. He D's up. He's got some flash to him. Like, he's got to not turn the ball over as much as he did at Memphis, but, like, that's a high-energy guy who I feel like could just go off and get you a 25 some night, or, like, I don't know. Like, I was more impressed with him today than I was Bolton in year two. Like, I'm not jumping to any conclusions, but, like, I saw good minutes from Foster when he got in there. Yeah, just rim running.
Who hasn't practiced much at all, and that's why he didn't play until the second half.
Just rim running, you know, and that's what he needs to be out there doing. But I don't know, like, that second half, like, Johnson's better than what he showed in the first 35 minutes of that game.
Yes, completely. Yeah, that was. I felt bad for him because, you know, he's got the talent, and then he flashed, like you said, and he scored like eight points in 90 seconds, and then he was a playmaker all day. He was getting in the defense and doing some nice things as a driver. They just have more options. Chris, the big question though is, will they guard? And when you give up 52% to Pine Bluff in the first half, that's concerning, and that would be my concern for this team. Is, you know, I like Tyler Harris a lot as a fellow member of the Short Guy Club, but it's the defensive end where it's like, man, you get. It's hard.
He at least gets up in you, though.
Like, he does. He tries. I'm just saying, like, you're at a disadvantage in some areas. And Trey's not a big guy either. And so I'm worried about that end and then rebounding. However, this team made 12 threes today. They only made 12 or more threes four times all of last year in 33 games.
That's something to do with Iowa State.
I mean, you just got to shoot the ball better. When you're a small team, you have to shoot the ball like they did today in order to compete, and that's what it's going to take. And it was more old-school type Iowa State basketball. Chris, last year they finished 270th in the country in three-point percentage, and they were also horrible guarding the three. Like, that's a really bad recipe, so you try and flip those things around this year. And they charted these things in practice. A year ago, the percentage in practice from three was pretty similar with the team ended up in the season. It was like in the low 30s all year in practice too. This year in practice, they're closer to 38-39% in practice. So I think you'll see a significant bump, and that played out again during the game. I mean, there's your practice habits make the game habits. And so I think they'll be better shooting the ball, and they're going to run into some wins just because of the three-point ball. They're going to give up some points. They're never going to be great on the glass. But if those young guys can be productive, I think they can surprise some people. Big 12 is really good, and then there's no easy wins coming up. I mean, you know the South Dakota State program well. A lot of Iowa State connections coming up on Wednesday, and that's going to be a tough one right out of the gate.
I hate that I can't be there for that because Hendo is my boy.
He's a good dude, yeah.
Yeah, we've vacationed with them a couple times. Like, they're really good people. That's a guy who I've always kind of circled to hopefully someday maybe be Iowa State's head coach. Brian Peterson's on that staff. Tyler Glidden's on that staff. Like, a lot of really good dudes who are, I'm sad that this game is under the circumstances that it is, because there's a lot of dudes on that, in that program, who it would be a bucket list item for them to coach in Hilton College. It's a lot of the Otzelberger guys, but that's really good dudes.
I think, but I'll say this. I hope people give this team a little bit of grace early, because it's a totally new group. Practice has been disjointed, but they've got upgraded pieces. It'll take a little bit for that to gel, and I don't know what that means from a win-loss standpoint, but you look, the recruiting class is very good. I mean, these freshmen are very nice players, and you know, you feel bad for them that they're not playing in front of fans. It was still super weird in there all week. You know, did the women's game Wednesday and the men's game today, and it's just like, it's watching, you know, a familiar TV show with different characters. Like, it just, it's strange in there.
South Dakota State is going to give them a run.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
They only lost to West Virginia by 8 in their opener. They beat Utah State by like 25, and then they gave St. Mary's, who's a really good program, a nice game on Friday. I actually watched some of that.
I would guess that point spread will be 3-5. I mean, it's going to be competitive. And
I would, power ratings, you're right, maybe a little bit higher because they're going to get the public because of Hilton. But sure. That's the only, but I agree with that. That game, in my mind, on Wednesday is a toss up.
Yep. So don't be surprised if Iowa State loses, but if they do, I don't think it's the end of the world. Like, you can't just bury this team because of that game. They've got some talent. Like I said, if they shoot the ball well, they're going to win some games in the Big 12.
I think that if they win on Wednesday, I could see them beating DePaul. DePaul's been out with COVID.
Yep.
And that would be really good for this group to start 3-0 and then go in to take on a top five Iowa team on the 11th.
Yep. They need to get Solomon or Condit going. You know, they need to.
Solomon, why did he only play 18 minutes today?
Who?
Solomon.
Just was off. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. He just didn't. Yeah, it was a weird. They were playing a zone, and Solomon's not great against the zone because he's not really a threat from out there. But those guys got to rebound. I mean, Condit and Young have to rebound, and Condit did okay today, but Solomon, I don't know what was going on today, but he just didn't rebound. And so I think that would be why he didn't play much.
Highly recommend checking out Jared Stansbury's column. It's like It's like 2,000 words on this game, but it's more about, as any good sports writer would do, and a game like that, you don't analyze that game. You analyze what you saw and how you can capitalize on it going forward. So check that out. It's currently on the front page of CycloneFanatic.com. All right, real quick, Bloom, before we get back into football, I promised this at the beginning of the podcast, and I have two local companies, very small local companies. You know how important this is to me to promote small companies, especially right now in the climate.
Well, you are one.
We have to stick together.
Yep.
And a gentleman by the name of Matt Miller from Van Veen Chocolates, beautiful city of Pella. So, and Bloom, for next week, we were supposed to do this week, but since we're not together, we're going to do this next week. Matt sent us some samples to try.
Oh, buddy.
But I actually have sampled some of these, and I'm just blown away. Like, the difference between, like, these handmade Dutch chocolates compared to buying a Hershey's bar is off the charts. But they're doing something new this year. They're a Cyclone company, and you can order online, and you can send them out as Christmas gifts. And here's the best part. They are now giving you a promo code of it's 7% off of all orders. The promo code is Cyclones. When you go to vanveenchocolates.com, the promo code of Cyclones will get you 7% off of everything. And I say this to you guys, how many times, Bloom, do you be like, oh, I got to get this person a gift. Like, I'll get them a tin of popcorn, or I'll get them, a Starbucks gift card or whatever.
Oh, yeah, Amazon card.
I'm asking our audience, and this is, again, this is important to me. If you want to do something to help Cyclone Fanatic this holiday season, help out these other small businesses. I've got this one right now, vanveenchocolates.com. And Bloom and I will do the taste test next week. Personally, I like the toffee. I've had a little bit of the toffee and the Dutch crunch. The Dutch crunch will knock your socks off. The promo code is Cyclones. And that way they know that you're getting it from here. And they can say like, oh, wow, it's a great place to advertise.
And by the way, maybe a good gift for teachers.
Yeah.
Think about all
no the doubt. Well, and the cool thing is
they've gone through.
And you have until December 10th to get your order in. And they'll send it right there. You don't even have to do anything. Boom. Give me your credit card.
So teachers, daycare providers,
anything all them. Like that. Yeah, the teachers, man, they've been going through hell. Okay, so the other company, do you like meat? Of course you do.
Yeah.
I think that this company, Ray is his name, Ray Schmidt, and he actually works at Iowa State. And he has his mom and dad, they have a farm. He has created a new business. It's a young man, an Iowa Stater, farmstorymeats.com. What you do is you go on there and you literally go grocery shopping from their fresh, the meats that they are literally producing right there on their family farm. It's incredible. I told him, I was like, Ray, can I buy into this?
Yeah, it's a great idea, man.
Because I think this is
Where's the farm?
I believe it's in Story City.
Okay.
If I'm not, I believe it's in Story City where they're at. So it's right there. I know it's in Story County. It's right in that area.
Got it.
But they ship throughout the United States. They do free shipping in the Midwest, free delivery in the Ames, Ankeny area. He sent some to me. I've been crushing their jerky and beef sticks. But the best thing is, so he's got coming up, and we'll continue to tell you about this, but he was taking some hogs to the butcher, and he's going to have some hams and all that stuff for Christmas coming up. Again, guys, you're going to buy this stuff anyways. Go to farmstorymeats.com and you can support, you get Iowa chops, and then they have a subscription box now where you can literally like monthly have meat sent to your house.
Wow.
They've got premium cuts, brats, cheddar brats, ribs. You know me, daddy's buying the ribs from there. They got you can get a whole chicken on there. Right now, we've got holiday hams. Like, it's incredible. I'm in love with this company, farmstorymeats.com, and I have a promo code for you, farmstory20, for any off of any of their meat bundles, farmstory20. And this offer expires on December 21st. So there you go. Please, I'm begging you guys. Like, you're gonna buy meat for your family. For your family Christmas, you're going to be buying, or this would be a great gift too. You got to buy those teachers, all those gifts, Van Veen and Farm Story. Check them out today.
Man, that's perfect. What great timing.
Oh, dude, I can't wait to give some of these ribs. I can't wait. Oh, they got bacon on there. Okay, we got to get back to football.
Making me hungry now.
Tom Herman.
What did you want before the game?
I wanted his ass, and I got it.
How many tweets did you get about?
Oh
that?
My god, I got a lot. There were like GIFs and like all kinds of stuff. Like one guy took the photo of me in my daddy owl costume from Halloween, and like put an air bubble around it and said, "I want Herman's ass." Herman coached a really odd game on Friday.
It was strangely bizarre. And that was so cool. I mean, it was classic Tom, though, right? Like, had him prepared.
Oh, man.
I thought their game plan was great. I thought Chris Ash had Iowa State, you know, kind of befuddled there for a while.
He did.
And then he completely outsmarts himself again and again and again. It's like, Tom, thank you. Like, I appreciate you outsmarting yourself again.
Didn't the difference between Tom and Matt stand out in the fourth quarter of that football game, though?
Oh, that was the personality difference,
Tom,
for sure.
Tom, with a lead, is faking punts, going for it on fourth, which, again, like, I did not like the fake punt call if I'm a Texas fan. Going for it on fourth, I am okay with. I didn't love.
It was a half a yard.
Yeah,
if
I'm
you
okay.
You think your guys are getting a half yard, yeah.
But
then the pass on second down, when you try the deep shot.
Yeah.
I was like, thanks, man.
No, I would add a lot of thanks, man. But then the most Campbell thing ever.
The punt.
Is punting on fourth and two with 4:14 to go. And, like, I was pissed. And, of course, like, and I like to eat crow, and I think a lot of, I would guess the majority of people listening, but that's the most Matt Campbell thing ever. He's sticking to his guns. This complimentary, all that crap that he talks about all the time, that people, that's the process. We got to trust it. And my point being, Tom, bit of a loose cannon. He says they were working on that fake punt for 2 weeks and it was there the whole time. Something tells me he got a wild hair up his ass and was like, oh my God, we should try and fake punt. And then everybody's going to be talking about how genius I am.
We're going to bury these guys right here.
And Matt sticks to the process, and the process eventually loved him back. And I thought that fourth down though, Brent, like, I don't know if you could feel it there in the stadium, but it did. You know, if they would have kicked that field goal, gone up seven, then, right? Yeah, if they would have kicked the field goal and gone up seven, that puts a lot of pressure on the Iowa State offense, in my opinion, to know you haven't had a lot of success all day going down and getting touchdowns. What that did, though, was flip the momentum big time. And I thought Brock and Breece went out there with a little pep in their step after that.
Did, but then they got to stop. I mean, so
you're right. Obviously they
get to stop on fourth down. Then Iowa State gets a couple of first downs. And I thought, okay, now we're moving. But then they get to that fourth and two, and you're like,
yeah.
I was with a lot of people. I'm like, man, I think you got to go for it here. But
I did.
It's the tortoise and the hare. Like, it's the classic fable, right? Where Campbell's like, all right, I'll just plot along here. I'll punt the ball. It's boring, but it worked.
But
I'm so happy it worked.
It's kind of that Kirk Ferentz type mindset, though. Like, if you're there in the last 5 minutes or in the last 2 minutes, then you have a shot. And I hate to bring up Ferentz, but that's, I mean, for a lot of people in our state, we've watched that for a long time. And Matt very well plays that type of football.
Totally. And a punt can be a weapon.
I thought Tom Manning made the best quote. It was pregame for the Kansas State game on the Psych 1 radio network when he said, as long as we're punting it, or as long as we're scoring or kicking at the end of every possession, we're happy.
Yep, for sure. And, you know, again, credit to them. You're down four with 3 minutes left. You get the ball back and you run it. You run it with Breece Hall. And that jump started that entire possession. I mean, he gets 18 yards right out of the gate when he hasn't been running the ball well all day. And obviously gets the tempo game going and it's game on from there. I mean, I thought that staff did not panic. And I think that's, again, back to what we started this podcast with, is the confidence to know we're still better than them. We just need more time. And Iowa State bought itself more time and it paid off. And I'm glad, because that's what Campbell's been doing for 5 years. Like, he punts all the time in that situation. He does not go for it. He did not change his mindset just because, as I think somebody tweeted, you know, Iowa State is afraid of the big moment here and they're not going to go for it. But Matt's going to be Matt. And he punted and it worked. And there's something special about that. We're like, I'm not changing my standards because of the moment. We're going to be who we are. And it worked. And I think that's what makes it even more special.
What did you think of Campbell's post game on TV? They got caught with him crying.
That was great, because you don't see that guy in public. And we've talked about it how many times on this podcast. Like, he's different in the locker room than he is in the public. And that was a glimpse of the locker room coming out in the public.
Yeah.
And that Matt is less of a robot than he portrays in the media. And, you know, that game, it meant a lot to the fans, clearly. It meant a lot to the former players, the current players. It made a hell of a lot to Matt Campbell. Because there's... That's and their whole entire staff. They came to Iowa State, and people called them crazy for coming to Iowa State. Why would you go to that graveyard? And they proved everybody wrong. And that was a huge moment for them, too. So I can understand why they were emotional. It had to be a good weekend.
Matt's a different breed, and I say that in the best way possible. Like, he's a different type of cat. Like, I mean, we've seen hundreds of coaches come and go through Ames over the 16, 17 years, and a lot of them, you know, you can just tell, right? Like, I mean, I'm talking mostly assistants. They're like independent contractors. Like, this staff and this whole group is like, they are a rock. It's weird. Like, but I love it. I love it so much. It's weird in the most glorious way. I really enjoyed Paul Rhodes tweeting after that game. Awesome. Mark Mangino even sent out a tweet, which was really weird. Because I was writing my column about the difference between Rhodes and, like, I was comparing to, like, after Mangino got fired and, like, his reaction. And Rhodes could be bitter if he wanted to be, but that was really cool. I exchanged texts with our old friend Dan McCarney after the game, and he was very emotional and, like, very happy.
How,
like,
cool.
He was, I think his quote was, "I'm just so goddamn proud of these kids," and, like, it was pretty neat. And another cool thing I saw was Jack Whitford and Lane Danielson are now best friends, and they
were back in the day too. Yeah.
And Jack showed me a video of him. His wife took a video of Lane's son and Jack's son watching the game together.
Man,
at the end of it, and you think of, like, the good and bad times those two went through in Iowa State uniforms, and it just. Yeah, I thought about a guy like your dad, like the amount of times you guys have been through all that crap.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Same. I mean, that's what hit me. And then that video that
Matthias
put out, it's like you start thinking about all those people that have watched shitty football for so long, just wondering, man, why do we do this? What are we doing this for? We had a couple glimmers of hope every once in a while, but what are we doing? I mean, could Iowa State ever compete? And then the conference goes to 10 teams, and you go lose at Baylor 71-7. You lose 71-7 in 2013. You're like, what is the point here? What are we doing? Like, should we just fold up shop? And in K-State in 2015, you're like, maybe Rhodes will keep his job, but then you somehow snatch defeat from the jaws of victory for not kneeling on the ball with 90 seconds. Like, are we just cursed? Like, is this ever going to happen? Are we just never going to compete for a Big 12? Like, I thought, maybe it's not meant to happen. And yet, 5 years later, and we're here. And Chris, you're right. The strange thing was, there was a calm about that game. You get down 10-0, you get down 20-10, and you're like, you know what? Just keep chopping away. Keep chopping away, and you're still in this. And I still thought, watching that game unfold, I'm like, they're not better than Iowa State. You know, they made a couple more plays, but they're not better than Iowa State. Let's do this thing. Let's finish. And they did. And that's what it was just beautiful. It was just perfect the way the whole thing unfolded. But you're right. What made it emotional is thinking about Coach McCarney. It's thinking about our friends that battled through 2005 when they should have won 10 games. They ended up with 7.
Yeah.
It's thinking about how they always got to the wire and then fell at the finish line. And yet this time, it went Iowa State's direction. And I don't know if it's sustainable. I don't know. But I'm enjoying the hell out of this moment right now. And I don't know. I just, you know, I don't want this season to end. It's been such a strange season, I know. And it's painful because you wish there were people in the stands to enjoy it too. But I know throughout this shitty year that this has brought some brightness and some life to people. And for that, I'm grateful for.
Yeah, that's cool. Like, that's this. It's a, like, a teeter-totter for me. Because part of me is a little bit jaded that it's like, oh, of course the year Iowa State's going to get over the hump. Nobody can go to the bowl game. Yeah, we did. We called it in freaking
August, yeah, right?
Before that.
July, June?
We called it in, like, April. I knew how this was going to play out. So that's one thing. But on the other side, though, man, like, it's cool that in a year where so many people's lives have been impacted in negative ways, that Cyclone football, of all things, has been able to, you know, turn that tide.
Completely.
I think that's awesome.
So it's like, why do we do this? Why do we follow college sports? You know, what's the point? If you think about it, let's take a 10,000 foot view here. You're watching 18 to 22 year old college kids play a game, but look what it meant to people on Friday afternoon. You know, think about all the time invested and all the meaning and all the importance of that game, all the joy celebrated between fathers and mothers and grandparents and sons and daughters, and you watching with Cammy, and my wife sending me text messages from the booth saying, we did it, we did it. And it's like, that's why. That is why we do this. And it's not just a game. That was an experience, and we need more of those. Mm-hmm. And you forgot about everything for Friday afternoon. Like, nothing else mattered. It was the fact that Iowa State is going to a Big 12 championship game.
All right, we're going to look ahead. We do have a kick time for West Virginia now. And we'll do the point spread and look ahead to that one and also talk about the scenarios with the Big 12. I want to thank our friends from Gravitate Coworking. You can check them out at gravitatecoworking.com. Apparently, my wife got offended because I said that I had to get out of my house. And
she recorded it and played it at our Friendsgiving on Thursday. By the way, hell of a job with the turkey.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. You know what? Next year's turkey will be even better if I go to Gravitate Coworking, because I won't be being bothered all the time by my daughters and wife when I'm trying to get some damn work done. But I did. I babied the hell out of that turkey all day on Thursday. Gravitate Coworking, we've told you about our friend Jeff. Here's what it is, simply. It's a place where, Brent, you can go if you don't have an office. Maybe you're an entrepreneur. Perhaps you just work from home. I like their motto. Find your productive, happy place. Meeting spaces, co-working, office space. Just check them out at gravitatecoworking.com. And I know they're getting some buzz from us, so I hope it continues and we get these vaccines out there and more people are choosing to go out and do that. And I would recommend, if this is a scenario where you don't have an office, ask your employer to see if they can help cover something like this. I think it's a great opportunity. Go to gravitatecoworking.com and check out all of the membership places. All right. Point spread. Iowa State is an 8-point favorite over West Virginia. I'm not surprised it's below double digits. I thought this is for gambling purposes, this is a terrible spot for Iowa State. We use the word spot a lot in gambling. The worst. You're coming off of this big emotional win. You got a team in West Virginia with 2 weeks off now. They still have a lot to play for.
Yeah, and trending upward.
Yes. This is probably the worst time you could get West Virginia on the schedule this year. Honestly, with the day, with 2 weeks off and all that. Bloom, I think Iowa State is good enough to win this game, even if they don't play perfect. I said that last week, even against Texas. But this is I think it's interesting because Iowa State is all but clinched into the Big 12 title game. We'll get to that here momentarily. But there could be a little bit for a normal for any program, a little bit of a look ahead factor here, I think.
For sure. And if you look back at the two games, the Iowa State-Texas game and the West Virginia-Texas were very similar. It's just that Iowa State made the plays in the fourth quarter and West Virginia did not.
Yeah.
I mean, I think their makeup of the teams is similar. Iowa State's just probably a year or two ahead of West Virginia. Again, when Neil Brown got hired, you and I were both fans of the hire, and it's installed a really good culture there. And they are strong against the run. And so it's going to be tough again for Breece Hall, much like it was for most of the game against Texas, and a nice quarterback in Daigie. They've got some weapons on the outside. This is going to be a grinder. And you've got the emotional factor. You know, Iowa State, potentially there's a look ahead factor and not all focus on this one considering the circumstances. So it's going to be a tough one. And West Virginia is very physical. So I expect this one to go four quarters as well, for sure. And it would be rewarding if Iowa State does not rely on anybody else to get into the Big 12 championship, and they're going to get there. It's just a matter of who, you know, what's the game that's going to turn the tide. But it'd be really nice, Chris, if Iowa State was 8-1
I agree.
The Big 12. You know, just get it done yourself. That's the message this week.
Well, and frankly, I think it'd be cool to be – I know that the outright. Big 12 champion gets awarded at the title game, but, like, to be able to say, like, we were 8-1, everybody else was 7-2.
For sure. Yeah, even if it's not official Big 12 championship, it's remembered.
Yeah.
In whatever capacity we want to remember it. That'd be great. There's still motivation for Iowa State to end this thing the right way. And Iowa State's not going to look ahead like, okay, well, maybe we'll get Oklahoma again. No, 8-1's a big deal. Win 8 conference games.
Senior day.
Let's go, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot there. I don't know. Like, you know Campbell. Like, can you imagine him taking his foot off the gas at all? He's not, I promise.
No, especially for those seniors. Selfishly, I'd love 15,000 fans back in that place.
Have you heard anything?
No. December's a new month. I mean, that was the...
Well, the numbers have gone down in Iowa. We're not at this, like, raging high. I mean, it's still high.
And the semester's over, right? So
I bet they'll have fans. I'm just... I don't know anything. I don't know anything at all. If Jamie Pollard has anything to say about it, they'll have fans. I don't think he has a lot to say about it. I think it's above him, but I don't know.
I think it's entirely possible. And if there's fans for that, then you start having fans for basketball games too.
But that's indoor.
Yeah.
It is different.
It is. It's true. I hope so, man. I just think this team deserves 15,000 fans. It'd be great.
If I'm a betting man, I think that they have some, but I say that.
Is there a time yet?
I don't know anything about that. It just came out. It's about 10 o'clock on Sunday night as we're recording this, and it just came out 2:30 kick ESPN.
Okay. I like that.
I thought maybe we would get the Fox. The
Big 11. Fox.
Yeah, but whatever.
But Oklahoma's got COVID issues. So they must have cleared that up.
A lot of people are asking, like, what if for some reason the Iowa State West Virginia game would get canceled?
It doesn't matter at this point.
Okay.
So the Big 12 has a protocol in place that it's an average of all the number of games each team has played, and the fact that Iowa State has played 8, they're in good shape.
Okay. There you go. You heard it from Bloom.
They don't have to play this game in order to make the Big 12 championship.
Okay. Guess the line.
For Iowa State, West Virginia?
No, we already said that one.
Yeah, I say I got that one.
Oklahoma State at TCU.
Boy. Man. That is an Oklahoma State -1.5.
3. That's a win. Good job. Kansas at Texas Tech.
Poor Kansas.
Just bet against Kansas every week.
Just bet. I mean, what was that final end up last night?
Well, did you see the stat line to that? Have you looked at the box score?
I saw it was like 24-0 the first quarter, and I was out.
Oh, my God. Well, I bet on TCU, so I was enjoying the hell out of that. I have to read you this box score. It's unbelievable. Like, I don't remember anything like... And I'm sure there's something else out there. I don't remember a Big 12 box score like this in my life.
Another Cody Road from our friends of the Mississippi River?
You got the pour?
I'm running low, yeah.
Listen to this. TCU won 59-23. The Horned Frogs only completed 6 passes in the entire game. Duggan was 3-for-11. Get this. 3-for-11. Brent, 3-for-11 with 3 touchdowns.
How do they just run it?
And then Downing came in and went 3-for-4. He didn't do anything, though. He completed 3 passes for 10 yards.
How do you score 60 points with 6 completed passes?
Well, because 3 of the completions were touchdowns. But he only completed 8.7 yards per attempt. They ran for 337 yards.
Well, that's good.
They had to have had some defensive touchdowns. Yeah, they had one defensive touchdown. All right, wait, holy. They had three defensive touchdowns.
There you go.
And there's a punt return for a touchdown.
Oh, Kansas.
And then a field goal.
At what point do you just dedicate all your resources to helping Bill Self get players or recruit?
That's wild. That three defensive touchdowns and a punt return. That's the craziest box score I've ever seen. Honestly, I don't think I've seen any.
So four non-offensive touchdowns.
Yeah, and that's your quarterback, your starting quarterback, only completed. He was 3 for 11 with three touchdowns.
Only Kansas.
That's incredible. Okay, what do you think the spread is?
One quick set I saw today. They're 6-91 in their last 97 Big 12 games. Not great. That spread. Who again? Kansas.
Texas at Texas Tech.
Kansas at Texas Tech?
Yeah.
28.
31. I'll give it to you.
Thank you.
Baylor at Oklahoma.
Man. How about Baylor just backdooring again for the rest of their lives? Jeez. Oh boy. Oklahoma 22.5.
Man, 23. You've seen these.
No, I haven't. I get to November 29th and I'm locked in.
Texas at Kansas State.
Oh boy. Texas 10.5.
7.
That's a loss.
Yeah, you don't get that one.
I don't get that one.
I think that's it. Yeah, that's it for the Big 12. Hopefully no more COVID issues.
So Iowa State needs to win, preferably, or have Texas win one more game.
We want Texas to beat Kansas State.
Yeah.
If Texas beats Kansas State, it's over.
Yeah.
So now we're rooting for Herman.
I mean, and we're rooting, you could. There's like other or have. Man,
I'm so confused because I was told all this week that we like Kansas State and we hate Texas.
Now we flip it.
Okay. These tiebreakers are. It's 54 minutes into the podcast. These are batshit crazy scenarios. Like nobody gets it. Like it doesn't make any sense.
I'm glad other smart people are running the numbers, but
yeah.
It really comes down to the fact that K-State beat Oklahoma is really helping Iowa State here with all these tiebreakers.
Oh, yeah.
Because if there's a three-way tie between Iowa State, Oklahoma, and Oklahoma State, the fact that Oklahoma lost to K-State is a bad deal for them. Man. Essentially.
All right. This was fun. Do you have anything else to add to this before we go? We're going to have a busy week. We are now in that crossover season where there's just a million things going on. And it's fun. It's a lot of work, but it's fun. Women's basketball Wednesday, men's basketball Wednesday. And then get after it on Saturday. When is that DePaul game?
It's, next Sunday.
So they have like a week off? Oh,
no.
No, it's like the
Sunday,
day.
Sunday.
It's the day after. So you're coming back and calling that, or is that an ESPN game?
That's an ESPNU game.
Okay.
It's Sunday the 6th. Like, it's next week. Sunday.
I'm surprised. Did ESPN talk about, like, having you guys do any of those national games just to have people there?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they'll have people there or not.
I feel like, I mean, you're good enough, and Clay's going to keep getting better and better. I thought he did a nice job today.
He did. It was
Clay's a great guy, man.
He's just a good dude, and
he's awesome.
He's a basketball. He's the varsity coach down there at Winfield Mountain Union. He's a banker. Like, just
he's
a
an awesome. Wholesome I met guy. His boy. He introduced his boy to me one time. Nice people.
He told me his Clay Edwards' son is a ninth grader who's already 6'5".
Whoa.
So I asked him if I could have his growth spurt.
You know where that kid's going, don't you? That kid's going to Iowa State. I
hope so. I mean, if he's already 6'5 as a freshman, I like his chances. But Chris, one last thing for me, and I think it's interesting to think about where we were you know, pre-derecho when we didn't even think this season would happen. So
that day went to Casey's and Bonderbrandt and bought like 3 packs of Black and Milds and a case of Busch Light. And I was like, it's all over from here. I'm gonna have to find a new career.
Yeah. Isn't it wild that was August 10th? So just grateful and thankful this season even happened. I mean, it was on the brink. We did that podcast and it's on the record. It was like a morgue, like a funeral. But happy we're even in this position. Would love to have the fans there as well, but what a ride it's been.
Thank you, Bloom. Good work this weekend.
Thank you, pal. Enjoy. Is the Shidley D even open?
Oh, you think they're closing down here?
I don't know. I don't know the Shidley D's business model.
Yeah, I don't even know. I haven't exactly had a lot of time to be gallivanting around Clorinda.
I hear you.
But I, I'll be here till about middle of the day, mid-afternoon. And by the way, did your wife tell you I'm going to be storing some stuff in your basement?
Hey, man, we've got some room.
I'll just tell everybody real quick, because Mikasa Suka. So
that's right.
My uncle died, I don't know, like 15 months ago, whatever it is, 16 months ago. And I'm finally getting the opportunity to go through his things. So my aunt and uncle didn't have any kids, so I'm basically like their kid, and so I'm going through all of his stuff, like 40 years of accumulation into this house.
Wow.
And he has a million race cars, like these die-cast, like NASCAR cars. I have my collection. You've seen them in my office.
Yep.
His is like 40 times what I have, and I've been going through them all day and going through all of his Iowa Hawkeye stuff, which has been a little weird, but I mean, some really like cool vintage and it's just, I have like, I could probably fill 3 truckfuls of stuff to bring home. So yeah. Don't worry. I'm not putting 3 truckfuls of stuff at your house, but I have all these race cars that I have to go through and like figure out, like I have to like, I don't know what all is there. You know what I mean? Today, yeah. I was just like throwing stuff in a box, and like it's been intense. But
is there like a financial value there, or is it more just
emotional
appeal?
They're, well, both.
Yeah.
Like I'm not going to sell them. I'll cherish them. But
that's great.
You know, my goal is, my dad and I collected, I've collected still, and someday, you know, I'll keep doing it. And I mean, I'm never going to have a boy, but maybe one of my girls will, and they can, or maybe one of my girls is a big NASCAR fan. I don't know.
Sure.
I can tell you, Cameron's probably not going to be. I bet Elise might be though. But you know, then they can have like this giant, but no, the amount of cars that I went through today, and he's got like all the labels and stuff for him, Bloom. Some of them, like, it'll be like 1 out of 300 made. Like, wow. This is like limited, like these Dale Earnhardt, like special edition, like stuff. There's some real value in it. So I want to go through and make sure and keep everything restored and all that. But that is what I've been doing. And I just pick a great week, you know, crossover week, basketball starting, Clones are going to the Big 12 title game. Like, timing has always been my thing. But
just, so perfect.
It is, but weird, hey, though, you, man, when you get older, the more responsibilities you have, and it's even like beyond like kids, because then you get to a certain age where you're starting to take care of the people who are older than you, who've taken care of you, and it's just quite overwhelming, but it's a blessing too. So,
well, enjoy your time there. I know it's probably not the easiest situation, but.
Yeah.
Hey, could you fire up at least some DX for me to end this thing?
I think I could do that. I'll do that, and I need to check in on some copyright stuff, because I'd love to make this the new.
Or just, you know, we're just playing it in was it fair use right now?
Yeah, but like satirical. If we're gonna start to, you know, here we go.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down. Degenerate.